You're listening to My White Belt, the best jiu-jitsu podcast in the world. Enjoy.
Welcome to another episode of the My White Belt Show. I am your host, Jim Trick. So we're doing a couple of these smaller, shorter episodes, but I just have to tell you, like, the coolest. I don't know how cool it is, but it's a thing that happened this morning. I walked out of the academy this morning after training, and I glanced at Instagram, and I had gotten a direct message from somebody. And the direct message was this: "Hey, Jim, I was wondering if I can get advice. What happens if you struggle with a move while practicing during class, like the move of the day?" Okay, let me just begin by saying, I love getting to do My White Belt. I love this thing. I am daily grateful for all of you who are listening and sending me messages and following, and it means the world. Never would have imagined that we would have gotten to where we have gotten, and I'm really pumped about where it looks like we're all going together. But every once in a while, I get a message that is so perfectly timed and so incredibly on point for where I am in my own journey. So you think you're getting encouraged, right? You think that you are getting wind in your sails and fuel in your tank, but this is a two-way street, friends. This is a two-way street. For the last week and a half, our academy has been working on Eminari rolls. Now, if you're brand new or you've never trained and you don't know what an Eminari roll is, you can look it up, but you're not allowed to try it until your coach starts teaching it. But an Eminari roll is basically a way of inverting on your shoulders and entangling legs, and with the goal of getting into saddle. Some people call it honey hole, some people call it inside senkaku. But basically what you're doing is you're going from one position and you're inverting on your shoulders, entangling the legs with the hope of getting some kind of an ankle lock or a heel hook. And if you're a skinny bastard, or if you are really athletic, you know, I don't know, if you're better at jiu-jitsu than I am, it comes very easily. But I'm this giant guy, and I've been struggling so hard with Eminari rolls, and I think I've got it, but the question, it's just such a perfectly timed question. What do you do when you're in class and you feel like you are, how did he put it? I was wondering, what happens if you struggle with a move while practicing during class, like the move of the day? Here's what happens. You wind up being like everybody who's ever done jiu-jitsu. That's what happens. You wind up being like the person who gets everything quickly, maybe, and then, oh my gosh, you hit that thing. And everybody hits a thing. I don't care how good you are. Everybody finds a move that for some reason eludes them. So the question is, what advice do I have? And I wrote, oh, like me? Today? I literally just got in my car after an extra 20 minutes of drilling the move of the day because it eluded me. Eminari rolls. So what do you do? What do you do? You're in class. Maybe your coach seems frustrated, though they're probably not really. But you're in class. They've shown the thing 24 times. Then they came over and worked with you on it. You still don't get it. And then you start overthinking it. And then you start freaking out. And then you start getting frustrated. And then the whole thing goes pear-shaped, as the British people would say. As maybe the Yorkshire gripper might say. He might say, well, that whole thing went pear-shaped. That's a horrible British accent, but it's what I've got. And then you're feeling like, what am I doing here? I can't believe I can't get this move. It can't possibly be that hard. Everybody else is getting it. Why can't I get it? And then the whole thing goes pear-shaped. So that's been me for the last couple of days as it relates to Eminari rolls. And then I would land it. And then I wouldn't be able to land it three more attempts. And then I'd be able to land it again. So the way our school works is we have class from 7 to 8 in the morning, open mat from 8 to 9. And then after 9, we have just like kind of like an impromptu, we call it Drillers Make Killers. And Ashi, drink, or, you know, one of our other coaches will just sit and go over the move of the day over and over and over and over and over again as many times as you need it until you get it. And so I rolled with Liam, got my ass handed to me, and then I worked on Mount Escapes with Keith. Then I rolled with Frizzy and with him on my back trying to get out and just kind of working through some stuff. And then went over to do Drillers Make Killers with Ashi. So working on Eminari. So the question is, how do you get good at it? Well, you, first of all, don't beat yourself up if you don't get it, because talking to yourself like an abusive parent doesn't do you any good. You want to be patient with yourself. You want to get with a coach or a training partner who has it down and they're really good at it, and you want to get reps over and over and over and over again. And one of the things that happens at our academy is our coaches are really good at breaking things down. And they might break it down into a step that doesn't seem like it's a big deal, like it doesn't seem like it really matters. It matters. Every single step of a technique is a story that matters and is important. So Ashi just breaking it down, and he's making me initially do a couple of pieces of the drill that I'm irritated because I'm like, yeah, I've got that. He's like, nope, you got to get this. You got to do this. Do this in order, and we'll get it. So we didn't skip any steps. We didn't skip any details, and I feel like I'm moving in the right direction. So if you are listening and you struggle, or you feel sometimes like you're a big idiot, you're not. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe I am. But we can't. Thinking of ourselves as idiots just doesn't get us anywhere. So you're not an idiot. I'm not an idiot. Everybody finds a technique at some point in time that requires a little bit more time and attention. And as I was reminded today, you know, it's really interesting because so much of what I say to you, I'm regurgitating what my coaches say to me. And that's fine. You know, that's why in jiu-jitsu our lineage matters, because we're being raised by these people who have these philosophies around this martial art that we love so much. And so if I'm regurgitating them, that's fine. Those are my teachers, you know, and at some point in time, every once in a while, I have an original thought. But what I was reminded of today is that I'm not competing against the people in our class. I'm not competing against the white belts that got the Eminari roll in the first 10 minutes of training, Joe LeMay. I'm training against who I was yesterday. And I think I was better today than I was yesterday. So what more can I ask for than to get better than I was yesterday? And I think we did that today. The only other thing that I can ask of you is that you would go to originmain.com, that you would buy yourself a new gi, some Jocko Fuel, or any of the other great things that they sell at originmain.com and Jocko Fuel, and that you would use the discount code TRICK10 to save money and to support what we're doing here at My White Belt. And I would also love it if you would write a 5-star review and say something nice about the podcast and sign up for My White Belt Wednesdays. Go to mywhitebelt.com. You can do that. Those are all those things that if you do them, I'm grateful. But even if you don't do them and you're just here hanging out and you're contributing to the community with questions or comments or topics for discussion or just hanging around, and I just find it incredibly gratifying for anybody that is finding useful information with all the My White Belt stuff. So thanks for being here. Let's now dive into the My White Belt Hotline.
Hi, I'm a middle-aged four-stripe white belt at our school currently, and we have an excellent teacher who I've learned so much from in the last year and a half. There was an incident that took place here about 2 weeks ago where the teacher totally disrespected a good number of students and presented himself in a way that was foreign to me, basically, from what I had known up to that point. It did cause me to lose respect in my teacher as well with how things were handled and things that were said. So my question is, in a situation like this, obviously in jiu-jitsu, respect is everything for the individual, for your teacher, and so on. But I've lost total respect for my teacher, and I'm not sure if I can get it back or how I should go about handling this as far as continuing to train or looking for a different school. And so on. So any insight you could provide would be very, very thankful, and I'd be grateful to hear what you have to say. Thanks.
Thanks for that question. You have a very strong, powerful voice. I'm a middle-aged white belt. I will eat you. Were you in the military? You have like such a, your voice has such a presence. If you roll the way you speak, then training partners, beware. Beware. What a great set of pipes. And what a great question. So, okay. Well, obviously, you know, they say God is in the details. There are a bunch of details. So I'm going to lay out a couple hypotheticals here. Okay. So hypothetical number one is that the person who runs your academy or this coach sexually assaults somebody or physically assaults somebody, does something that is wildly illegal and premeditated. You're just gone. Yeah, of course, you move on and you stand up against them and you rat them out and you make sure that they are brought to justice. That's what you do in those situations. You find out that, you know, someone in your academy is having inappropriate, is harassing somebody in a, you know, some, there's no appropriate way to harass somebody, but you find out that somebody is harassing a female student, say. Yeah, no, you rat that out immediately. You stand up against it and you don't tolerate it for 1 second, because your jiu-jitsu tribe, listen, your jiu-jitsu tribe, it's more than a business. I say this all the time. This is not like you're taking piano lessons. You're not taking jiu-jitsu lessons. You're training in a martial art that becomes a lifestyle. And you are aligned and connected with your training partners in such a unique and important way that there's no room for a bad apple. So that's, you know, and only you know the details of what happened. Only you know the details of what happened. Now, let's talk about everything else. We put people on pedestals. We put people on pedestals over how much money they have, over how good looking they are, over what kind of car they drive, what house they have, what they do, what they've done, who they do it with, how they carry themselves, And it's not unusual for jiu-jitsu students to put their professors on pedestals. And First Colony jiu-jitsu, really, like Liam does not want to have a culture of fanboys and fangirls who are going to fawn over the person teaching them. He expects humility from the coaches. He expects humility from the students, and just doesn't have any time to have a culture of fanboys and fangirls. And I have to fight against that. I mean, I really look up to the people that I learned jiu-jitsu from. And I think there's got to be a balance, right? So there's got to be respect there. There's got to be trust. There's got to be respect. But I definitely look at the people who have taught me jiu-jitsu and are teaching me jiu-jitsu and are training me. And I look up to them, and I admire them in a bunch of different ways. And I am well aware that they are humans. So listen, friends, if you are breathing oxygen, and if you are alive and listening to this episode of this podcast, here's what's real. Everyone will let you down at some point in time. And you have let people down. Everybody will fail their moral standard. Everybody will be a hypocrite. You have been a hypocrite. You will be a hypocrite. At some point in your life, you have told a lie. You will tell a lie. You will let somebody down. You will do the wrong thing. How do I know that? Because you are human, and humans are imperfect. Now, listen, we can get into the whole like religious thing, but we won't do that today. So, you know, let's not start. I'm not going to use this as an opportunity to start like spouting religious ideology, but I am going to say that if you're listening to this, you have failed someone. You have betrayed a friend. You've betrayed a lover. You've let people down. You've done the wrong thing. And in some cases, you've done the wrong thing on purpose because it was more convenient or because you got something out of it. So let's begin by agreeing that we are all on a level playing field in terms of imperfection. And just because somebody has a position at a jiu-jitsu academy and is great at jiu-jitsu does not mean that they are perfect. The best, kindest, most skilled, inclusive, toughest, clear, amazing jiu-jitsu coach is going to let you down at some point in time in some way. It's just how life works. And we live in a time and in an age where people are so easily offended. They're not only easily offended, but they are so willing, ready, and able to just write a person off over something that offended them. And I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people with ideologies and sensitivities where they make every single thing about one thing, and they look for a reason to be offended. Now, listen, friend, caller, I'm not saying that this is you, right? It just kind of hit a little bit of a nerve. So I'm not saying this is you, but you called to ask the question. So I'm giving you like the deepest, most comprehensive answer that I can possibly give you. I am tired of a culture of people who are looking to be offended. They're waiting for someone to say something that they don't like, so they can either jump on them or write them off. I know that over the course of my 52 years on this planet, I have needed forgiveness from people. I have needed grace from people. I have needed people to ride out rough patches of my life with me. I've also needed friends to tell me to get my shit together and stop being an idiot. And those are the best friends. The best friends are the ones who will say, "You're being an idiot. What are you doing right now? What are you doing right now? What are you doing with your life?" And I've needed those people. I have needed those people so many times in my life to say, "You know, Jim, you're a smart guy, but you're not that smart, and you've got to change this thing that's going on in your life." And then it's up to us to not be little, to just not be little crybabies. But the point is that we begin with it. Everybody is imperfect. And there are some things that, I don't know, I guess they're kind of unforgivable. Like, I don't know, I'm not even going to list the darkest of the dark things that would make you just go, "Yeah, no, you and I are completely done." There are definitely those things. But for most things, little time, little grace, little distance, little understanding, recognition, particularly in jiu-jitsu, that, listen, we love this thing. We love this thing. We're united in this thing. We've got each other. So how about if we work to build a strong unit? What if your academy, what if we really aren't working against each other, but we're working with each other? And so I don't know what the details are, but I do know that the other thing I would say is this. I think it was Henry David Thoreau who said, "Everyone is fighting a battle of which you know nothing." There is still so much stigma around mental health. There's still so much shame wrapped up, particularly with men, in terms of them getting help to heal broken hearts and troubled childhoods. Fortunately, I think we are moving into a culture of men who are brave enough and strong enough and courageous enough to do their work so that they don't inflict on their wives and children what was inflicted on them. Do you want an example of that? Okay, here's an example of that. Pick up Tom DeBlas's book, How You Bear It. Do you want to see examples of people who are being strong in their vulnerability? Check out the episode that I did with Uncle Joey, with Joey Diaz. Jiu-jitsu is filled with guys who are strong enough and tough enough to be honest about the pain that they've been through and the work they've done to heal. They're not babies. They're not crybabies. They're not Tom DeBlas certainly is not sitting in a corner crying about his his life. I'm sure he has cried about stuff that he's been through, but he's also strong enough to be open and honest about it so that he can encourage and inspire other people to do their work. But there's still a stigma. And so is it possible that that person who is incredible in the academy, who is a great coach, who really, really can communicate complicated jiu-jitsu techniques in a way that you understand, is it possible that that individual has some stuff going on in their private personal life that is so hard, so difficult? Maybe it's mental illness. Maybe someone they love is sick. Maybe something that they went through as a kid is still creating heartache for them. There's a world of things. And so one perspective can be, "I trusted you and you let me down and now I'm never going to trust you again." Another perspective could be, "I trusted you, you let me down. Life is hard. Let's work this shit out and let's move forward. And like a bone that breaks, that regrows stronger." Right? We rebuild the trust. We rebuild the respect. We gain understanding. Stephen Covey, who wrote seven Habits of Highly Effective People, one of the habits was seek first to understand and then to be understood. So, you know, there's a passage in the Bible that says, listen, I don't care. I'm not asking you to believe in God. These are wise words. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. How about that? Like, you don't have to buy into any of the God or Jesus stuff. You don't have to be religious to hold those as wise words. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So, all right. So listen, you called with this question, and it's a great question, and I'm on a rant, but I'm on an unapologetic rant to say, can we please become thicker skinned? Can we please, just as a culture, stop being so easily offended? Can we keep in mind that everybody's human, everybody's imperfect, everybody's going through shit. Most of us are really doing the best we can. Really, I think most of us are doing the best we can. And then can we find patience and forgiveness and kindness? Can we learn to have conversations with people that we wildly disagree with? Can we stop with all of this? It's just so boring, and it's so bad for us, and it's so gross. You know, it's just like, and then you get to have a conversation, and then you get to maybe change somebody's mind or change somebody's heart. You know, a number of years ago, I was on a date, and I was carrying a little handgun. And it was a first date. It was going great. And she put her hand around my waist and she said, "Oh, what's that?" And I saw it's a little pistol. And she became indignant. She just became enraged. She was like, "This was going so great. What are you thinking? Why?" And remember, I live in Massachusetts now. So, you know, whatever. Anyhow, I try to avoid any kind of like strong political ideology stuff here, but let's just hang with me for a second. She, every fiber of her being felt like owning a firearm was immoral and wrong, and she didn't even know that you could legally do it, and had like, she was like, "What?" You know, like freaking out. And I looked at her and I said, "Well, hey, listen, I'm sorry if that's a deal breaker for you. I totally get it." I said, "But if you want to have a conversation about this, I can have a conversation. You can completely disagree with me and we can still have a conversation about this. You know, I'm not going to write you off or call you names or not be willing to have a balanced conversation." And she said, "You know what?" She said, "This has been a great date and you seem like an interesting guy. I'll hear you out." And I said, "Well, we're in this restaurant, right? And there's a sprinkler system here in case there's a fire, and there's probably a fire extinguisher over there. So if something terrible happens, if there's a fire, the sprinkler is going to go off, or, you know, somebody's sleeve catches fire from this candle and somebody right over there has this fire extinguisher." And she went, "Yeah, so what's your point?" And I said, "Well, we live in a day and age where, you know, people that are mentally ill and out of control and so on and so forth do things like make bombs out of pressure cookers at marathons, or drive vans into crowds of people, or pull out firearms and shoot people at concerts and churches and movies and synagogues." And I said, "So, you know, so that kind of stuff happens. You can't deny that that kind of thing goes on." And she went, "Yeah." And I said, "So some guy walks in to this restaurant because he suspects that his wife is with someone that's not him. He finds out about it. And he comes in here with a gun. Do you want me, who is trained. I train and I'm trained. Do you want me, who is trained and prepared to be here, to end that so that innocent lives don't get lost? Or do you want a bunch of people to get shot before the police come? And she just looked at me with this. Listen, it doesn't mean that she instantaneously agreed with me. It meant that she recognized that has been part of a culture where she's only heard one part of the story. She's only been told that it's wrong for somebody to own a firearm, but she's never actually thought through the details of why it might not be a bad idea to train, to protect people, to protect yourselves and to protect others. So the point of me saying this to all of you is not that I'm trying to make a point about guns. I'm trying to make a point about conversations. I'm trying to make a point about division and when we fall out and when we have arguments. And listen, some people are going to do things that are so immoral, egregious, illegal, wrong, and you're just not going to want to have anything to do with them. But in the cases where somebody just dropped the ball, did the wrong thing, said the wrong thing, can we all just learn to lighten up a little bit? Can we just learn to lighten up a little bit? And then particularly as it relates to jiu-jitsu. Yeah, it's a business. Yeah, you're paying to go there. And if it's terrible and it's not great and whatever, and if it's not great, then yeah, go someplace else or do something else. I don't know. Go play pickleball. Go do something else. Go take I don't know, hire a personal trainer and do a bunch of push-ups and sit-ups. Just do whatever you're going to do. But jiu-jitsu, there's something different about this. You're part of a community. You're part of a family. If your academy does not feel like a family, it's on everybody to create that vibe. So you have an opportunity to create that vibe as well. And I encourage you to be the person at your academy who helps it feel like more like a family. And learn to lighten up. Learn to forgive, learn to take some time. Don't be a cancer. Don't be the person who goes around and turning people against other people. And this person said that about this person. Enjoy this thing that we've got. Enjoy this thing that we've been fortunate enough to be invited into. And let's just make our business about being really good training partners and getting great at jiu-jitsu and really enjoying it. So that's the episode today. Yeah, it was a long rant, and I'm not sorry. If you are wildly offended by what I said today, I hope you can forgive me. And if you want to have a nuanced conversation, we can, because I'm not a baby. And I'm able to talk about things with people that I disagree with. And I'm able to forgive people who have wronged me. And I hope that the people that I wrong will forgive me. I don't think any of us are out to get it wrong. I think deep inside, we all want to get it right. So, all right, friends, thank you for listening. And I hope that you'll do all the things I asked you to do at the front end of the episode. Until next week, this is My White Belt. I'm Jim Trick. Train hard, train smart.